And we have a graduate in our midst. Caleb McNeil, would you please come up? He's finished the course. He's ran the race. No, there's much more to do. You're not done quite yet. But you're done with one part of life, right? And moving into a new part. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You have anything to say?
No.
Well, we would like to give you this gift as a church and tell you that we're proud of you. And now go and be used by God in your next years of your life. Amen? Let's pray a blessing over him. Lord, we pray for Caleb right now, God. I pray that your purposes and plans would be fulfilled in his life. God, as he has college in his sights, Lord, I pray, God, that college, God, would be a place where he would learn maybe, God, things of the world, Lord. But I pray, God, it'd be a time of cementing in you. God, that there would be a depth that would come to his walk in you. Lord, I pray, God, that he would be an example of the life of Christ, Lord, on his campus. God, that he would literally lead others to know you, Lord. I pray, God, that you give him a fire, a desire for the things of God. Lord, we release, God, the power of prophetic gift that's in him, Lord. Let it have its full reign. Lord, let him stir up all the gifts that are inside of him, Lord, that Caleb might be the man of God you have called him to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you, son. Are you guys okay if I preach up here? Mix it up a little bit. Wow. You can see everybody so much better up here. Kidding. So this coming Saturday, I want to make sure I remind you, is men's breakfast, and that will be at 9 a.m. downstairs, and I encourage all the men to come, and it's a good time. We hear testimonies, and we get to have some good food and spend time fellowshipping, so I hope you can make that. Bring somebody that doesn't know the Lord especially. Give them an opportunity to hear of the things of God and experience what maybe faith is other than what they think it is. How many know that people have a preconceived idea of church? They do. They can tell you more about church sometimes than you can tell them about it. Because they have so many different experiences, or people have told them things about church, and until somebody really experiences Christ, they don't really even understand what it means to be in a body of believers. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited to bring this word today. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. I'm going to read the verse, then I'll pray and then share a little bit. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that your word is alive. Lord, your word is truth. And Lord, I pray right now today, God, that as we read your word, as we meditate on your word, Lord, as we study this scripture, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd make it alive to us. Lord, help us to realize, Lord, that we have a choice, God, that we can, Lord, make decisions, Lord, and we can focus, Lord, on what you want us to focus on. And Lord, I pray that the garbage in and the garbage out mentality, God, would leave your people. God, that we would have holiness in, God, and holiness out. We'd have righteousness in, Lord, and righteousness out. Lord, we would have purity in, God, and purity out. Lord, that we would let, Lord, our hearts and our minds be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Lord, your word says that those who walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the desires of the lust of the flesh. Lord, I pray, God, that we would learn to walk in you, Holy Spirit, to hear you, Holy Spirit, to be led by you, Holy Spirit, and to let the garbage be that garbage. We'll no longer feed our souls, Lord, with things that tear us down and cause us to become what we're not supposed to be, God. And that's your children, full of light, full of glory, full of power. Thank you, Jesus, for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for every single individual, Lord, that's hearing this right now, Lord, in the transformation that you're going to bring to their life. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is Paul in chapter 4, and it's about the middle part of chapter 4, and he says, finally, brethren, the New Living Translation, I believe, says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. So the title of the sermon is Garbage In, Garbage Out. But it could be subtitled One More Thing. I want us to realize that we live in a generation, we live in a world where there is so much garbage out there. There are so many things that we can focus our attention on and we can feed into our heart that literally brings corruption to the work that God wants to do. It literally stops and stifles, I believe, the Holy Spirit from being able to be what he wants to be in our life, and that's Lord of our life. Literally keeps our minds from being able to discern between right and wrong. We can even read the Word, but if we're feeding ourselves with junk from this world, the Word can't have its full work in us. It's hindered. Because the world comes in and corrupts what God wants to do. It corrupts this incorruptible seed. It's an incorruptible seed, but we can keep it from being all that it's supposed to be in our lives by letting junk into our lives. I was waking up the other morning. It was about, about 4 o'clock, and I was waking up, and I'm starting to go, what's going on here? I'm thinking of this stuff, you know. And I decided to go ahead and sleep in a little bit longer. And for like 2 hours, I thought about this movie I had seen 6 or 7 years before. Now, I was a Christian when I watched this movie. And at the time when I watched this movie, I thought, no big deal. It's just, you know, a suspense movie, a thriller, you know. But these thoughts of this movie came into my head. Now, I don't know what triggered it. I wasn't thinking of like the actors or anything. It just came into my mind. And I had to deal with it for like 2 hours. And I couldn't really rest anymore. I'm like casting it down in the name of Jesus. The thoughts, now it wasn't like, you know, a pornographic movie or anything. It was just suspenseful, but it was something that now the thoughts of those kind of things affects my spirit. I literally, it almost like feels like something's clinging to me. And I'm saying, Jesus, just let this go. And I'm going like, Lord, why is this here? You know, well, 7, 8 years ago, I fed myself that. And we think, you know, well, you know, it's just a movie. But is it just a movie? We think it's just a book. Is it just a book? It's just a TV show. Is it just a TV show? It's just a conversation I'm having with somebody, and we're talking about some things. But is it just that? Or is it, could it be, the very thing that the enemy's using in your life to keep you from becoming who God wants you to be? I believe that's why Paul says, finally, brethren, one more thing. Let me close with this, because this is important. Whatever things are true. Now, this word true, it's interesting. It means true. No. It means true, true in fact, worthy of credit, truthful. Now, I like this part. It stresses the undeniable reality when something is fully tested. It will ultimately be shown to be fact. Authentic. Where's Kendra? Authentic. You were praying about authenticity today, weren't you? God wants us to focus on what is authentic. Now, you know, how many of you know that you're either in one camp or you're in the other? You can't, like, be really in both. Jesus said it this way, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Everything else is of the devil. Ouch. That means all the gray area that we think that is all okay in life is really of the devil. Some people say, oh, I don't like that Jesus is black and white. Well, you may not like it, but he is. He said it this way, you're either hot or you're cold, but if you're lukewarm in the middle, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. How's that for good news of the gospel? It's the word of God. And so when we think about things that aren't truth. You know, in Romans it says, let God be true, or his word be true, and everything of man a lie. See, we tend to look at the world as something that we can continue to let come inside of us, and, you know, God's going to, you know, filter it all out. But God's not asking us to do that. He's not saying, well, just get as much as the world in you and I'll filter it out for you. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, you filter the world. You think about things that are true, authentic. Well, what is the most true and authentic thing that you guys can come up with? And the Word of God. So right there, be single-minded and think about Jesus and the Word of God. You're saying, boy, that's awful rigid, Pastor Mike. Well, but again, I'm not the writer of the book. I'm communicating what the writer of the book is saying. And some would say, well, that's what Paul's saying. Well, Paul was inspired by the Spirit of God to write to the Philippians. And he was inspired by the Spirit of God to communicate to them at this time that they needed to make sure that these eight attributes were things that they focused on, things that they meditated on, things that they put their attention to thinking about. And truth is one of them. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? He is the truth. You focus on Jesus, and you're going to be fulfilling the Scripture. I believe you can keep your attention on Jesus. Now, some would say, well, that's awful restricted, Pastor Mike. If I just think about Jesus, then, you know, I can't think about other fun things in life. Well, that's not true. I mean, I can ask people that I know have been kind of drawn in by the Lord, challenged by the Lord to set things aside that they were normally using as part of their appetite, so to speak, feeding their soulish realm. And as they've done that, and they've left those things, that there's joy and peace and fulfillment that's come in other areas. There's fun that's come in other areas. It doesn't have to be garbage to have fun. I can guarantee that if we learn to spend time, intimate time with Jesus, in his presence is going to be a fullness of joy. A joy that the world cannot compare to. How about this? How about a peace that the Bible says that passes all human understanding? All ability for us to even reason where this peace comes from, because the peace comes in times when you should not be in peace. When you should not have your heart in a state of okay. I know people who have gone through tremendous, myself, trials, struggles, losses. And God is the difference. And when we keep our mind on him, our focus on the truth of who he is, he will keep us in perfect peace. So how about this? Whatever things are honest. Another word for this would be dignified. Or how about this? Actually, gravitas. Gravitas. That was a word that came out kind of used in the political realms there for a few years. But gravitas means weighty or having gravity, having weight to it. So we're to think about things that I would say have substance. Not just frivolous thinking. Not just things that do not carry any weight, I would say, for the eternal kingdom of God. How many of you know there's lots of things that you can do with your time? Anybody have an iPhone? Anybody have Angry Birds? Hanging with friends? I mean, there's things that you can do that can be fun, but it can while away the hours. Facebook. I don't see why they call it Facebook. You never see a face. Right? I guess it's face in a book. I don't know. It's a catchy term. And I don't know how many million subscribers now. How many? Almost a billion. Almost a billion people are on Facebook. And I've heard some people literally have like lost relationships over Facebook because the person never is even seen by their family anymore. They don't see their face anymore. Maybe that's what it's about. You get in Facebook, your family won't see your face anymore. I don't know. Maybe that's what it means. The point being is, yes, you can have godly interaction in there. I know that can, and you can encourage others, and there's things that you can do that are positive. But you could also waste a lot of time. Things that don't carry weight. See, when we get to eternity, it says that this life is going to appear as a dream to us. We're going to think of it as like, was I really there? It seems like it was real, but boy, this really seems real. And if you think about the things that we thought were weighty or maybe important, all of a sudden aren't going to be important unless they were in eternal perspective. Whatever things Whatever things are noble or just, whatever things are pure, pure definition means without spoilation, even down to the center of one's being. Now you think about this. There's things that we can see, things that we can watch, things that our families can watch because we're watching it. You know, a lot of times the TV is, even though it may rate the shows, it doesn't always bring segregation to the home. The show's going, someone's playing, you know, you're just watching it yourself. Someone walks in the room and maybe they see something that's going to be on their brain for the rest of their life. And maybe they're young enough that it spoils them. I know a brother who basically accidentally came across, when he was really young, some material on the TV. I don't know if somebody else was watching it. I think it might have been some friends he was with. But it scarred him in such a way that he dealt with adult pornography for years. And then when the internet came, I mean, that was just like, you know, feeding the beast because it was so accessible. And he didn't plan that, but it marked him. Bible says in Proverbs to guard our hearts with all diligence. That means like with a tenacity. That means like a purposeful thought process. I'm going to guard my heart. Because out of the heart spring the issues of life. So if our heart gets spoiled, if it loses its purity, if we let things continue to come in, then we continue to feed ourselves. See, the problem is I'm not so... We can't help those things that we accidentally see, and even though those could scar us. What really bothers me is the things that we purposefully feed ourselves. I couldn't do it, but I almost thought, man, what an illustration to get a garbage can up here and me start eating out of it. You guys would throw up. Yet we do that in the natural with the stuff that we watch. It's no better than garbage to our spirit and to our being. Our eternal self. And yet, we do it all the time. And because you can't see it, you can't see somebody eating, you know, an old nasty... I'll make my wife throw up. I can't do that anymore. She's a weak stomach, so I'll stop, hon. Maybe that's why I didn't do it. Anyway... Breathe. Whatever things are pure, pure. This without spoilation. Sounds like a word I would make up. Means to be chaste or unadulterated. Pure inside and out. Holy because of uncontaminated. Not mixed with guilt or anything condemnable. That's powerful right there. And how do we do that? How do we think on things that are pure. You have to keep things away from you that aren't pure. Tell me, does anybody have it down where they can watch, a horror movie or something like that, and it does not affect you at all? And if that's the case, you're lying. I was talking to somebody today, a couple days ago, and they were saying, I have friends, and they watch these movies, and then, they can't even go to bed at night. They're up awake all night because they're afraid somebody's going to get them. Well, somebody did get them. They've been gotten. They think, it's just scary fun. Well, it may be fun for a moment, but it's marking their soul. That if they get saved, some altar time, they might have to come up and God heal that. There's times you guys come up here for an altar time. Times I come up here. It's because this junk that we let in. There would have been no reason for us to have to make the altar our home that day. We could have been there for somebody else. I know I use this expression a lot, but this is life and death. If life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? And if the tongue is what that real mark of what's inside of us is, most of the time, it's what comes out of our mouth that really says who we are, right? You get around somebody long enough and they talk and they speak, that's what's inside of you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. If we've got garbage, if we've got junk, if we've got defilement inside of us because we've let it in, not if somebody's perpetrated something on you or been perverse with you, that's not what I'm talking about. That you can help, and those are things that happen because we live in a sinful world. But I'm talking about us as God's people. If we're letting things into our lives, into our family's life, that later on cause us that impurity to be under condemnation or guilt or shame, then shame on us. And how can we live as lights in this dark world if the light that we have is dark? It talks about the light, the eye, the light of the soul. It says, if your eyes are dark, how great is the darkness? See, I think there's no more devastation that darkness does. Yes, in somebody that's not saved, darkness was in my life and I did not know Christ. But I didn't really know I was in darkness until the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. But how much more is that darkness when a person who has received Jesus Christ, their life is now illuminated with the glory of God, and now they start to receive back inside of them the darkness of the world, and it quenches that light. It quenches the life of God. How great is that darkness? Whatever things are lovely, I like this one. Properly means worthy of personal affection. How about this one, though? Worth the effort to have an embrace. Worth the effort to have an embrace. In other words, let's think about things that is worth having. Let's think about things that are worth embracing. That are worth making part of your whole life, for the rest of your life. Think about those things. Because there's a lot of things that are unlovely that we can think about, that even when we participate in them, we wish we never would have. We wish we would have never touched that stuff. We wish we just say, oh Lord, forgive me, just remove that from me. But we participate in it. No, we're to think of things that we say, oh, I'm so glad that that's in my life. How about this? How about your family? How about think about your family? How about think the blessings that you would love to have God put on your family? How about think about the fulfillment of God's will in your family? How about thinking about our brothers and sisters here? You guys are all worthy of an embrace. You're worth having around. I bet if we spent our time, get this, what do you think would happen if when we started to go down that path, well, I could go there, but you know what? I could sit there and I could start thinking about brothers and sisters I know at Church on the Move that I know God need God's blessing in their life. They need God's grace in their life. They need God's mercy in their life. Lord, I pray right now, and we just start praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, redeeming the time for the days are evil, taking our thoughts away from what was garbage and putting them on things that are eternal, worth an embrace. Are you guys getting this? Whatever things are of a good report, spoken in kindly of, in a good spirit, things goodwill towards others. I would say that if you're gossiping and talking about somebody else, if you're using somebody else's mistakes and shortcomings, faults, sins, as your conversation piece, it's not a good report. It's a bad report. Because when we sit there and regurgitate things that we've heard about other people to other people, we literally speak death into that individual, into that family, into that situation. Let's think life. Let's think lovely thoughts about other people. Even if they're struggling, even if they've committed sins that you in your own mind would never do, let's not talk about them as if there's some kind of trophy that we're showing off. I've never done that. Or I bagged that one. That's almost the way the conversation is sometimes. It's like we're roasting people and enjoying other people's shortcomings so that we can feel better. So that our sins aren't quite as noticeable. Whatever things are of a good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything virtuous. Virtuous is moral excellence, which is displayed to enrich life. Think about things that would enrich somebody's life. Think about things that will enrich your life. I mean, I got to tell you, it limits what we can really do, folks, if you really start living this scripture. And I believe if you start listening to the Holy Spirit, because as I'm talking to more and more believers, they're saying, I don't want this stuff in my life anymore, Pastor. I don't want this stuff in our family anymore. We don't even have the desire to participate in it. That this isn't, again, if you make this and you go home and you put this on your refrigerator, Pastor Mike says we have to think about things that are true, noble, just. And you just make it a big list without love of God involved in it. See, as we fall in love with Jesus, we want to be more like him. And I just don't see Jesus bringing a bucket of garbage and start eating out of it. I see him distributing life to everyone. To himself. And that's what we're to be like. Jesus. So if you can do this, if you can say, oh, I think Jesus would watch this, then you're probably good. But if you can say, oh, I don't see Jesus doing this, then why are you? I mean, that's a good filter right there. What would Jesus do? What is Jesus doing? Better yet, if we quit asking all the time, what would Jesus do? And we said, what is Jesus doing? And can I come alongside and do that with him? So I think if we were more focused on the lost, we're more focused on, you know, the state of our world, the darkness of our world, and our hearts broke for those that don't know Christ, this stuff would be so easy. We would agree with Paul. Yes, finally, brothers, let's do this. But If you just let your life go without godly divine direction, and if you just live life for every single day, I guarantee you'll struggle with verse 8. You'll say, why did God put that in there? Whatever is a good report? That's craziness. Anything praiseworthy? I don't always think about things that are worthy of praise to God. See, it's not just talking about man's praise. This is talking about you're thinking about things that would bring praise to God. That limits what we can think about. Anybody else agree with that? If our minds really are to think about things that would bring praise to God, that really limits things that I can think about. And it does. My mind will start going somewhere and say, in the name of Jesus, I can't think that. You know, maybe it's something about someone or something that I've heard or something and I just have to bring those thoughts captive. Why? Because this vessel that I have become. Now, when I was born on this earth, I was born a sinner, and I did not know God, and my heart was away from God, and I didn't even want to know God. But when I received Christ, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God was implanted in me. And this unworthy vessel had worth in God. And I can tell you that even before I was saved, somehow God saw worth in me. I don't know how he saw it, because I didn't display it, but saw worth in me. And I became alive to God, a spirit that was alive to God. And the Word of God started feeding me, and the grace of God started being in my life, and the peace of God started being in my life. As with all of you. And if we don't treasure what we've been given, if we don't realize that the new life experience in Christ that we've been given is to be a treasure, is to be something that we hold dear, and that we don't pollute, and we don't corrupt, and we don't destroy by feeding things into us that literally will kill and destroy us. Tells me if it's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, what's the source? The devil. The enemy of our soul. And he has all kinds of meals out there for us every single day. And we can choose to eat of that meal, or we can choose to say, no, thank you. I have food that you don't even know about, Satan, anymore, because you got cast out. And I'm going to feed on the food that God's given me. I'm going to sit at his banqueting table. Even though you think it's foolishness, Satan, his banqueting table is life food. His banqueting table, when I eat of God, is food that will literally cause me to spring into eternal life, to have life flow out of me to others. Thank you, Lord. Meditate on these things. Let me finish with this. What that means is, that would be as if you were an accountant. And you were saying, well, let's see, 1 plus 1 is 2, 2,023, and you're adding those up, and you come up with a bottom line. The bottom line is, we're to meditate on all those things. And how do we do that? By counting those things. By making sure that we're in Christ. You know, the Bible says that. Examine yourselves to see if you're in Christ. If you're living the way that God wants you to live, examine yourself. See, there's so many words out there today about just live. God loves you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have a fulfilled life. That's true. But he doesn't want you to just live life for yourself. I'm sorry, that's a lie from the pit of hell. It is. For you to just say, you know, I'm just going to live my life and I'm just going to do whatever I want. I know that God's blessings on my life. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I don't care who's saying it and how beautiful a package they wrap it in and how eloquent it may come out. It's a lie from the pit of hell. My Bible says, I'm going to take up a cross an old tattered cross that literally represents me being pinned to the cross with Christ. Take that up and follow Christ daily. I don't hear my plan in that, do you? I don't hear, yeah, I'm just going to live my life and, you know, I'll drag the cross wherever I go. No, no, you're to take it and you're to carry it. You're to hold the weight of it. You're to be responsible for it. We're getting in a world where responsibility, people don't want to hear about. Accountability, people don't want to hear about. Having to examine yourself, people don't want to hear about. I'm a victim. I'm a product of my society. Just deal with me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. As believers, we are God-given individuals to this world. And if we corrupt what God's given this world, and we take the life out of this God-given vessel to this world, then again, shame on us. I'm thankful that I ran into somebody that had not done that with their life, that was living a life of faith, and that was not a hypocrite, and that was not saying one thing out of their mouth and living another the next day. And you, me, all of us may be that somebody in someone else's life and not even realize it right now. And the way that you feed yourself spiritually, the food that you take in spiritually, the junk that you filter out because of Jesus' love for you, may be the very reason why they say, I want what they have. See, when a Christian starts to look like the world, it's not just bad for the Christian. It's devastating to the world. As it says in Romans, that the Gentiles were blaspheming the name of God because of their conduct. Unbelievers were blaspheming God because of their conduct. It really does matter how we live. Really does matter what we feed ourselves. It really does matter who we associate with on a regular basis. See, some of you, I may be describing a friend that you're very, very close to, and all the time, all they're doing is putting garbage in you. And you may have to speak boldly to that friend, say, listen, I can't have you talk to me like this anymore. I'm your friend. What are you talking to me like? He says, I treasure my walk with Christ so much that I will not allow what you're saying to me to corrupt my heart. Now, they may say, well, you're judging me. Or is it just that you're starting to stand, and standing for Christ can judge others? You can tell them, listen, man, come to church with me, you know. Come spend some time reading the Word with me. I love you, you're my friend, but I can't have this corrupt communication keep coming inside of me. And Holy Spirit, I pray for that individual right now, God, that you're touching in this area. God, give them the words to speak. Lord, I pray that whatever they do would be in an act of love and grace. There would be a tenderness, God, in what they do. It wouldn't be a self-righteousness, God. It would be a purity of heart, Lord. And release this one, God, from this bondage now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Would you stand with me? Folks, time is running short. Every single day that we live, we're closer to Jesus' return. Every single day that we live, I believe we're closer to more perilous times, darker times. It says in the last days, there will be perilous times. And I believe that if we're going to be ready to live in those perilous times, we've got to be full of light. We've got to be full of truth. We've got to be full of the Word of God. We've got to be full of everything that God says that we already have. He says we already have it. I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we have. So let's not take this gift from heaven and corrupt it with the garbage of the world. Garbage in, folks, it'll be garbage out. Just as happened to me the other morning. Some garbage went in several years ago. Many years ago. I mean, I'm like going, how many years ago was that? And garbage came out in my thoughts. And I had to deal with it. And my thoughts weren't just totally praising the Lord the whole time because I'm sitting there fighting these thoughts. I'm sure I could have testimony after testimony of people who deal with that every day. Maybe not for a couple hours, but for an instant. All of a sudden a thought, something triggers. But my Bible says that we're new creations in Christ. And I believe as we get closer to Him, the world's going to have less of a hold on us. Even past experiences. I believe that we can renew our mind to the place where we don't think about those things anymore. My Bible says that I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. If we keep our thoughts on God, I believe we're going to stay in a perfect peace. Lord, we just come to you today, God, as your vessels of honor, God, that you've called us. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would, Lord, let our hearts be falling in love with you over and over again. God, as that song says, you get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. God, let our love, God, for you be real love, God. Let it not be a Sunday love. Let it not be just a when we're around other Christians love, God. Let it be a 24/7 love, God. That what we love you so much, God, that we do not want to let nastiness into our life. We don't even think about garbage anymore, God. Our thoughts are your thoughts. Our desires are your desires. Heal our hearts. Heal our lives, Lord. If there's been things that we've allowed in our lives, Lord, I pray for those, God, who have allowed things in their life, Lord, that is literally trying to suck the very life of God out of them. Lord, I pray you release them today. Give them revelation. Give them understanding, God, of what's happened, Lord. Give them tools, Lord, to change their circumstances. I thank you, Lord, that you are alive and well in 2012, God, and you are doing above and beyond, Lord, all we can ask or think in our lives. And Lord, we want to live a life that's fruit is worthy of your praise, is worthy, God, of your recognition, Lord. Help us to truly be those vessels of honor. Thank you, Lord. Want to sing once?
Worthy. Worthy. Receive the praise, holy, holy, holy. You're the Son of God, you are awesome, God of power, Lord of glory. Come and fill this place. You are awesome, God of power, Lord of glory. Come and fill this place.
Yes, God, fill this place. Not just this building, God, but these temples that we are, Lord. Fill these places, these vessels, God. Lord, with your presence, with your glory, with your splendor, God, fill us, Lord, to overflowing, God, that we, Lord, would be who you've called us to be, and that your kingdom would come, your will would be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Oh, I do want to let you know, remind those of you who may not know, is it 1:30? At Lynette McNeil's house, we'll be celebrating Caleb's graduation again.
Good message. Right?